Hey, listen, are you thinking about buying tickets to your favorite sports, concert, or theater event? Maybe you want to experience a basketball game courtside rather than on your couch. Maybe you go to a hockey game and you bang on the glass instead of your own TV in your own living room. Then head on over to FanExchange.com for a safe, easy, and reliable experience. Tickets purchased on FanExchange are always guaranteed. There's no getting to the gate and worrying about getting in. So whether it's NBA, Major League Baseball, WrestleMania, Coachella, maybe a Broadway musical, FanExchange will get you closer to the action. Find the very best seats at the best prices at FanExchange.com. Use the promo code Rome, and you'll get 50% off the service fees on your next purchase. Fan Exchange. We have tickets. That's Fan Exchange. Welcome to the jungle, and what an amazing Thursday it is. What's cracking? Live in Southern California, I am in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. An amazing Thursday. I've got a tremendous show for you, but first and foremost, can I just say this? San Diego, what's up? What's cracking? Back on the air in San Diego and could not be more hyped or more pumped to be there. Phone number is toll-free. San Diego, I told you I'd be back. I told you it would not be that long. It wasn't. So you already know all the elements. You know everything you need to know. It's only been a few weeks. But if you want to jump in, you want to hit me up, go ahead and do so right now. We are live on 97.3 The Fan, The Jungle on FM in San Diego. How does it sound? How does it feel? From my end, it feels epic. It feels absolutely amazing to be right back where I belong, where it all started, and on FM 97.3 The Fan. Hit me up right now, San Diego, 1-800-636-8686. Telephone number is toll-free. You know this. You know the drill. We go way, way, way back. And since we go way back, you go right to the front of the line. You've got your telephone number. If you want to hit me on Twitter, do that. Follow me at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. So that's one of the big things today. We are back on the air in San Diego, 97.3 The Fan. I'm well aware that this show has 200 other stations plus around the U.S. and in Canada. I would never make it about just one town or one affiliate, but that's a really important town and a really important affiliate. So let me get that out of the way. Right off the top, it is great to be back. San Diego, what's up? In terms of the show itself, I've got a tremendous, tremendous rundown and list of guests, and I've got lots of takes. Coming up in about 15 minutes, arguably the best story in the NBA. Not the beard, not LeBron, not Golden State, not Houston. Andre Ingram of the LA Lakers. I know you know his story. This guy's absolutely incredible. An amazing guy with an amazing story. He's coming up in about 15 minutes. Also in hour number one, a retired 8-year NFL vet, Joe Hawley. Wait till you see what this guy's doing with his time now. That's coming up also in the first hour, so we go back to back. In other words, you should call me right now. Before I get into it, call me right now. 1-800-636-8686. In hour number two, the new head basketball coach at Louisville, Chris Mack. Third hour is open. Now, since we're back on the air in San Diego, why don't we start with a San Diego topic? In fact, I would have started with this no matter where we are or are not, but there was a brawl in baseball yesterday. And yes, you heard me, a brawl. Most of the time when people use the term brawl in baseball, it's in the loosest sense possible. I mean, the truth is, baseball fights really aren't fights. They're just a bunch of guys jawing at each other, taking turns, holding each other back. Nobody really wants to go. And generally, there really isn't a brawl. Nobody wants to go near a brawl. Dudes just get off the bench because they have to. They get off the bench, they go on the field because it's the worst look ever if they don't. And then they mean mug like they want to go when you know they really don't. However, yesterday, the Rockies and the Padres really wanted to go. Now, that was a brawl. That was a legitimate brawl. And like most baseball fights, it didn't actually start the moment that it started, but actually the night before. And actually might even go back further than that because we're averaging nearly a hit batter per game when these two teams face each other this year. But they both went next level with it yesterday. That was when Rockies reliever Scott Oberg drilled Padres outfielder Manuel Margot in the ribs. Now that dot job sent Margot to the DL. And then the Padres sent a message to the Rockies. Colorado shortstop Trevor Story was hit in the first inning. The Rockies responded by hitting Hunter Renfroe in the second. You could feel the tension building. You knew this thing was about to come completely off the rails, and there was not a damn thing that the umpires or anybody else could do to prevent it. Then, on the first pitch of the third inning, when Nolan Arenado at the plate, this happened. The pitch goes behind Arenado, and then it's go time. It's drowning pool time.
Nolan Arenado leads off for the Rockies back in the first inning. Rockies at first and second, nobody out, and he struck out. After that, Gonzalez, a fielder's choice. Story got hit by a pitch, and Mike Tauchman struck out. And that pitch behind Arenado, he's going to charge him out.
Uh-oh!
And the benches have cleared. There is a melee on the infield. Nolan Arenado had a ball go behind him. He threw his helmet down, ran toward the pitcher's mound. Perdomo threw his glove down. Bench is cleared. Here come the bullpens as well. Umpires right in the middle of this trying to keep peace.
Boy, Nolan Arenado and A.J. Ellis are the two principal combatants in terms of being held back right now after the initial confrontation with Nolan and Perdomo. But you just had that feeling it was going to come down at some point.
Well, yeah, we had that feeling, all right. Rockies radio on that call. I'm not sure drowning pool even does that justice, because that was an all-out, bench-clearing, bullpen-emptying, punch-throwing brawl. That was not a bunch of fake tough guys acting a part. Those were guys looking for a piece, a serious piece. Dudes looking to knock suckers the hell out, starting with Arenado. My man was not out there for show. My man was looking to break Luis Perdomo's face after Perdomo threw behind him. And Arenado was not the only guy. Padres catcher A.J. Ellis, 37 years old, a vet of more than 10,000 innings, was out of his crouch like he was shot out of a cannon to chase after Arenado and to protect his pitcher. Padres coach Mark McGwire was right in Arenado's grill, trying to calm him down and maybe remind him how many times the Rocks had already dotted the Padres. And it's a good thing that he did, because Arenado was not playing. This guy was throwing the kind of haymakers that put dudes to sleep if they do land. He was not looking to have a conversation with Perdomo. He was not looking to talk it over. He was looking to tune him up. Nolan Arenado, Silver Slugger, Gold Glover, and from the looks of things, with a little more time in the gym and a little less time in the batting cages, this guy might be a Gold Glover also. Afterwards, he was pretty straight up about what happened.
They thought they had to do something, and I thought I had to do something too, and that's kind of why I went out there.
That makes some sense. That makes some sense. What does not make as much sense is Colorado outfielder Gerardo Parra. Now, I know why he was out there. I just don't know how he was doing what he did once he got out there. This guy stole the show. He comes flying in, seemingly on the back of a teammate, looking to throw. It's an amazing move. Check this out. I've been watching it on a loop all morning long. I think this guy was green screened in there, like he was on some stunt wire that was removed in post-production, because this is an amazing move. You got to check this out. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network with me for the simulcast, you see what I'm talking about. This dude sprints in and gets right in the middle of it. So my man may have been late to the party, but when he got there, he was the party. And then he got ejected. One of five guys ejected. Arenado, Perdomo, Ellis, Marquez, and the crouching tiger hidden Parra. Listen, I want to be very clear about this. Do not get this twisted. Understand where I'm coming from. I am not here to hype brawls. I'm not condoning it. I'm not here to hype it. Somebody could get really hurt badly. Somebody could get their face broken. Somebody could lose an eye. You've got dudes hurling rocks at each other from 60 feet. Then you've got 60 guys on a dead sprint wearing metal spikes, laying the lumber to each other, throwing punches, and having no idea what they're doing or who they're doing it to. And who knows what other heinous activity is going on in that pile. In a brawl like that, it's a small miracle that nobody was badly hurt. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying what it was. And what that was legit. A legit brawl. So, is it over? Was that it? An eye for an eye. Now they're all square. Doubt that. Not if you listen to Arenado, who, when asked that very question, said, quote, "I don't have an answer to that one. We'll see." End quote. Translation, get your popcorn ready. Of course, this is not over. It never is. These guys never forget. And in the case of the Rocks and the Padres, they're never going to like each other. You have a couple of class organizations, but class organizations that will go and will protect their own. And they proved it both yesterday. Trust me, that is not the end of that. That was legit, but that is not the end of that. 1-800-636-8686. What a way to return to San Diego. That was a serious brawl. And guys, we're looking to do some serious damage. And lest we forget, Nolan Arenado, that is a bad, bad man. With a bat in his hand, with a glove on his hand, that is a big, strong dude. And he was looking to do some damage. 1-800-636-8686. Quickly, let's check out some emails. Jim Bone. I love when baseball players brawl over the code. In fact, I wish every workplace had a fight-inducing code. What if among the XR4TI, how high you buttoned your shirt was a reason to go? And each day when the Sparrow strutted in with his top button locked down, it sent little Alvy into a rage. That would be badass. Casey in New Hampshire, War. Hey, bro, did you just microwave fish? Boom, out of here. That's good. What if there was a workplace code? You know, understand that thing about the Major League Baseball code?
Out of here.
None of us know it. None of us understand it. The guys that play the game at the highest level are the only ones who know and understand that code. I just know that there is a code and that there were many violations of the code yesterday. And that was not the only game where there was a violation or five of the code. Yankees, Red Sox also got after it, which I'll get to a little bit later on. This email says, I bet Nolan got great pleasure watching that sissy backpedal practically into the dugout and throw his glove like a little girl. Thanks, Stephen S.A. You know, it was something. Not the best look ever, unless you can fire that glove 95 with crazy movement. Ed Phoenix Tree Rat tweets, can I hear it in Sorrento Valley? Oh, Mesa, Ocean Beach, Escondido, Rancho Santa Fe, El Cajon, Poway, welcome back. Hey, you tell me, where can you hear it? Where can you hear 97.3? The Fan. How does it sound on the FM dial? Because it feels great to be back. It's like I was never even gone, which I really wasn't. Stucknuts in. He tweets, San Diego. Give the show 2 weeks. If you don't like it, give it another 2 weeks. It's not bad, Nut. It's not bad at all. Dan Lesks tweets, Jim, now that the show is back on in San Diego, maybe you can do a tour stop at Qualcomm. No one else uses it. Sincerely, Carson. That didn't take long. Brian in Rochester tweets, why would anyone ever provoke a baseball player named Nolan? Very good point. Robin Ventura is a great dude. He was a great player, great dude, great baseball guy. I mean, literally one of the best guys. You talk to anybody who knows him, anybody who played with him, anybody who played against him. Robin Ventura is an awesome individual. One of the best. One of the best. But one of the worst ideas ever was to go out to have a conversation with Nolan Ryan. You can almost see him on the way out there like, yeah, it's not a good idea. But now I've gone too far to turn around and go back. I guess I might as well just go out there and see what the old guy's up to. And then he used his head as a speed bag. Why would you ever go out on Nolan Ryan? Even if you're right. Go ahead, Albie. I did do this once at a tour stop.
Did Robin Ventura ever apologize for bruising your fist with his face?
I did once say that at a tour stop to Nolan Ryan. Not my proudest moment. I've got lots of not my proudest moments. But you know what my proudest moment is right now? Being on the FM on 97.3 The Fan in San Diego. Right now, that is my proudest moment. Everybody, all together now. San Diego, Supercharger, Carson. All right, I got to get out. Andre Ingram's coming up next. Best story in the NBA right now. If you're on hold, stay there. Listen, I know there's a lot of you out there that had a bad night. You know how I know this? Because I've been looking at what you've been tweeting. I've been reading your emails. I've already heard some of your calls that have not made it to air. You did not sleep well. You had a bad night. I've got your answer to that problem. The revolutionary Zipa. Zipa is a game changer. If you snore, you are not sleeping. If you are not sleeping, you are not succeeding. If you want success, you got to be at your best every single day. Zipa is the answer. Use a Zipa. Get a great night of sleep. Use a Zipa. Do not keep the person next to you up either. Then neither of you sleep. Zipa is the only snoring solution of its kind. So if you snore, you need one. I want you to go to ZYPPAH.com. Easy to remember because Zipa is happy Z spelled backwards. Zipa.com. Tell everybody you know to get one. Remember, ZYPPAH. ZYPPAH. Zipa, get the great night of sleep that you need and you deserve.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I'll be straight. I'll say it straight out. I am pumped for this conversation. We're joined right now by a guard for the LA Lakers. He is the G League all-time leader in three-pointers made. 19 points in his NBA debut on Tuesday night, averaging 12 points, 3.5 assists, and 3 rebounds per game with the Lakers this season. He was an All-Patriot League player at American University. We are joined now by LA Laker Andre Ingram. Andre, it is so good to have you on the show. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
Andre, I got to say it right off the top, I'll be honest. It's been an amazing NBA season, but I'm not sure there's a better story than yours. Let's go back for just a little bit so people can fully appreciate what you and I are about to talk about. You had a really nice career at American University. You come out, you get selected by the Utah Flash in the Development League draft. What were your first few years like in the D-League?
Yeah, they were. It was exciting, man. It was enjoyable. You know, the D League was kind of a new experience for me. I knew I definitely wanted to play in the D League because my whole dreams had been about the NBA. So, I mean, right after college, there was no overseas thought. It was straight to the D League. And my first few years were great. That Utah team, they were an expansion team that year. It was their first year in the D League. It was my first year in the D League, and I stayed with them throughout that. Their entire existence, which was just a great experience.
Yeah, so it makes sense at that time to do that. But you just wrapped up your 10th season in the G League. The truth is, you have to really love basketball to put in that kind of time for what is now the G League. It's not easy. It's a grind. What kept you going?
You know what? The fact that I felt close, and it's funny to say that, you know, 10 seasons, but, you know, to feel close each and every time, I kind of did. You know, I thought I played well and had stretches and good enough stretches that, you know, something can come of this. And, you know, so that kept me coming back, the genuine feel that, you know, we can do this. And plus being encouraged by others, you know, whether it was, you know, people at home, people I trained with, or even, you know, people in front office or, you know, coaches I ran through throughout my years. And, you know, just people saying, hey, man, you look great. You know, just keep going and, you know, keep at it. And so I kind of did that. So, yeah, I'm glad I did for, you know, these last couple of nights, man. It was all worth it, all worth it.
Andre Ingram joining us. I want to talk to you about those couple nights in a moment. But to give people even more perspective, you're a tutor on the side. What do you tutor? And then how'd you first get started doing that?
So specifically high school mathematics and, you know, preparing high school students for college, you know, so SAT test and ACT test as well. So, yeah, that's my field of tutoring. I got started in it, you know, playing in the D League. You know, you probably need a way to supplement your income throughout the off season and what have you. So, yeah, it was something I enjoyed doing. I mean, as much as I love to play and prepare, you know, for basketball, I genuinely have a passion to, you know, like teach math and stuff to kids. And it's nothing like, you know, seeing them get it when they don't understand something. That's how math is. You know, you completely don't understand it, then something clicks for you. So those kind of aha moments I kind of live for on, you know, on the tutoring side of things. So it's just a passion of mine, mathematics is in general.
I love that part of the story. Plus, you majored in physics. So the G League season wraps up, and you're called in for your exit meeting, and you've had plenty of those. You know how they go, except this one, they moved up a day earlier. When you first heard that, what did you think?
Yeah, you know what? The moving up a day earlier, didn't think too much of that. And then when our GM told me, well, they have a camera crew following you because they just wanted some things for the website, And, you know, so they'll be doing that with a couple guys. You know, I really thought nothing of that either. You know, it's just, you know, I've been with those guys for so long. We have a type of relationship. I mean, they, you know, tell me anything, and I'm, you know, thinking nothing of it. And, yeah, then to go from all that and then to go to one of the bigger conference rooms, that was different. And, you know, all the guys that were in there for the front office, that was different because it's usually just the head coach and the GM that you'll meet with in their office. So, you know, starting to put two and two together after a while, and then, you know, Rob Pelinka and Magic walk in, and it's over, man. It's just, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. Here's the thing. When you get the official word that after all that time, 10 years of grinding, you get the call up, you're going to make your NBA debut on Tuesday night, and I'm watching this video, I'm getting chills. I think everybody who saw it got chills. How were you able to keep it all together in that moment?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I wanted to let loose like my wife and mother did when I called them, you know, in the meeting. That's what I wanted to do. But I don't know how I kept it together, man. It obviously it was the dream come true. You know, that was it, you know. And so I don't know, man. I think what happened was, you know, I heard it. But, of course, something like that in the amount of time that it, you know, took to get here, it doesn't just sink in automatically. It takes time. But, yeah, man, just overwhelmed. And I think my mind just kind of went to, man, this is great to, okay, man, we got to play. So let's kind of get ready. You know, the same thing, kind of what Magic said. That's basically what Magic said when he, you know, I'm sure people seen the video now. He's like, all right, now I need, you know, all your shooting percentage. I need that with us now. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, man. That's all there is to it.
Andre, I was going to say, I mean, it's not like they just said, hey, man, you've earned this. What a great story. It's the end of the year. Magic did say to you, hey, listen, you're here for a reason. We want that 48%. We need you. You got to let it fly. So what's it like when Magic and Pelinka and Luke Walton are there and they're saying, hey, we love you. You earned it, but we need it. Let it fly. Do what you do.
Yeah, that part felt the best of the whole thing because, you know, it showed me why they did it. You know, it's excellent to have a story like this to, you know, to grind your way through things and to, you know, finally get an opportunity. That part is great. But, you know, for them to say that, it was like, okay, we did this for basketball reasons as well. Don't forget that. You know, they wanted me to know that, like, you're here because we think you can play basketball. We want you to do what you've done your career for us. So, I mean, that part kind of helped me to, you know, to answer the emotion question. Like, it kind of helped me to say, hey, you know, this is wonderful, everything you dreamed of, but you got to play. Like, that's how you got here. So it kind of shifted me right to, like, basketball mode. It was excellent to hear that from all of those guys.
Well, Andre Ingram joins me for a few more moments. You know, there should be a movie in this if there's not already. And even the movie, you know, if they have you entering the game, the movie could literally end right there, but it doesn't. I mean, the story in and of itself is amazing, but then you go in and then you get off. You get 19 points, 6 of 8 shooting, 4 of 5 from beyond the arc. You had 3 blocks. You played great defense. And the crowd is getting louder and louder and louder. And even they were chanting MVP, MVP. In your wildest dreams, did you ever imagine it playing out like that?
Yeah, not at all, Joe. I mean, you're right, man. It's like with each step, it got better. You're right. From the check-in, I mean, being checking in the game with Chris Paul and, you know, him speaking with me and, you know, just talking candidly and just thanking me and just telling me how he found my story amazing to him. I mean, that's Chris Paul telling me that, man. Like, this – you know, this is a Hall of Fame Chris Paul, guy I've looked up to, guy I've watched play, guy I've been a fan of, still a fan of. Like, you're right, the movie could have ended right there. And then, you know, for things to, you know, happen on the court the way they did, I mean, that's nothing short of magical, man. It's it was quite the experience from beginning to end of it all. It really was. It just got better with each minute I was out there.
Andre, one thing, I mean, Chris Paul, for him to make a point of coming over and saying, hey, listen, I know your story, congrats and respect, that's one thing. Lots of other guys who play right now were tweeting out to you, but how about Kobe tweeting love it in all caps and Kobe telling USA Today your story, quote, is a gorgeous story, and then Kobe added, quote, dude, the story is ridiculous. Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? To have the courage and resolve to stick with that dream and now to get your shot and come through in that way, I mean, that's impressive, man. A guy like that, Andre, you know better than anybody, does not throw around that kind of praise. How does it make you feel when you see and hear that from Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, from him especially, man. You know, I've, you know, played with the, you know, LA G League team for a while now. I've got to personally watch Kobe and his practice habits and hear from guys who have played with him when, you know, the Lakers have send downs that come with us to the G League. And, you know, we're all, you know, during those years when I was playing with the Defenders, and or which was the LA G League team when Tom Kobe was here, you know, I mean, during those times when guys were coming in, Kobe was all we asked about. How does he practice, man? How does he do it? You know, this and that. And so, like, I mean, that's Kobe, man. Like this is, you know, the guy here. Still is revered here very much so, and by myself personally as well. So, I mean, to hear that from him, you know, my brother had to tell me that, you know, Kobe had tweeted that. I don't have a Twitter. I don't know if you know. I mean, I'm not big social media-wise at all. I don't have anything. My wife and I have a shared Facebook account. So hearing all of these things from family and loved ones that, you know, Kobe's tweeting about you, man. These basketball players, all of these guys, the top guys in the league, they are talking about you. I couldn't believe it, Jim. I truly just couldn't believe it that, you know, they found my story to be that inspirational when their careers and their own stories have been that to me. So, remarkable.
I mean, seriously, Andre, the most impressive guys ever to play the game are looking at you and saying, man, you inspire me. You motivate me. It's got to be the most amazing thing. But at the same time, I'm talking to you and it all seems so natural. I mean, you're also composed about it and you've got this presence. So let me finally ask you this. What would you say to somebody right now who might be listening, who might be thinking, man, it's just not meant to be. I chased the dream, but I'm going to give up on the fight. I'm going to abandon the fight because it's not meant to be.
Yeah, you know what, the reality is I think we've all hit that point. I think part of the biggest reason that you know, people are inspired by my story and are saying what they're saying, because even the guys, you know, who've made it in the NBA, the Kobe's, the Chris Paul's, like, even for those guys, you may not know it, they may not think it, but they probably hit that point at some point as well. You know, we've all hit a point where it's like, man, it's just not going to happen, man. I've been pushing for it a long time. Maybe it's not 10 years in an NBA, you know, trying to reach that. It's 10 years in something. You've been aiming for something. Someone has for a long time. And, you know, if it's your dream, man, I just feel like you stick it out and you just see what the end is going to be. You know, that's my advice. My story is obviously of endurance. But, you know, it wasn't always pleasant. So for anybody in that part of the struggle, it's not always pleasant. If my story is an inspiration and encouragement to you, God bless you, man, to keep at it. If it's the dream, it's worth keeping at it. And just go see what the end's going to be until you can't go anymore. Who knows how long I would have went, Jim, if it didn't happen, you know, in that exit interview 3 days ago. Who knows how long I would have went. But I would have went to the wheels fell off. So I'm just glad it did happen, man.
Andre Ingram, my man, I could not tell you. I can't say how excited I was to talk to you and then to have a conversation go like that. It lived up to all the hype. It is truly one of the best stories ever. I'm so glad you came on the show to share it with us this morning, Andre. Thank you so much. Congrats, and really, really nice to have you on.
Jim, thank you, man. I appreciate all of it, man. Thank you.
You have a great day. Andre, great talking to you. One of my favorite stories ever. What an amazing guy he is. What a great dude. You can see why everybody loves him. He's got so much it, man, and bright, smart, talented, an ability to grind, perseverance, courageous, good family. Just one of the all-time great, great stories. Your thoughts on that? And we're coming right back. Telephone number is toll-free. 1-800-636-8686. Lots to get done in hour number one. I've been looking forward to that. When we come back, another great story, a story of a different type. Joe Hawley, a retired 8-year NFLer, joins us to talk about what he's going to do next. If you're on hold, stay there. Phone calls are coming up, and it is good to be back in San Diego. San Diego, listen on 97.3 The Fan. Time now for Sports Up.
CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Lots of Andre Ingram reaction, which I want to get to. Lots of reaction coming from San Diego, where we're back on the air on 97.3 FM. Lots to get to, but before I do anything else, as promised, another great, great story for you. If you're on hold, stay there. We're joined right now by an 8-year NFL vet. 3 seasons with Tampa Bay, 3 seasons with Atlanta. He announced his retirement earlier this offseason. He was the 117th pick overall in 2010 out of UNLV. Joe Hawley is my guest. Joe, it's so good to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
Good, Joe. Great to talk to you. As I mentioned right at the top, Joe, you played 8 years in the NFL, the last 3 with the Bucs. Earlier this offseason, you announced your retirement. Let me start right there. How long had you been thinking about that, and how did you know it was time?
Man, it was kind of a slow build. I mean, you start playing a lot of football, your body starts breaking down, and the mental stress starts to catch up with you. So the last couple of years, I knew it was coming to an end, and this last year, I actually ended up not starting. I was kind of grooming a guy to change positions, Ali Marpet, from right guard to center. So I was actually on the sideline for most of the season, and it was the first time I was on the sideline without that real fire or urge to get out there and play, and I felt really content with it. And at that point, I was like, you know what? I don't really have the fire to play this game anymore. I need to find something else that I do love and I can put my energy towards.
All right, so Joe, what about that? When you start thinking like that and retirement enters your mind, the natural question is, what next? What do I do after football? What kind of thoughts were you then having about life after football?
Yeah, so, I mean, the mindset you kind of have to play football is you got to be grinding and working hard, and everybody kind of has this attitude that you need to be getting something accomplished. And so I started stressing out about what I wanted to do. I've always wanted to get into business, maybe start my own business. I've been to the NFL business academies that they put on. And so I've been really prepared for my life after football. And I started getting really stressed out about what I wanted to do next. And there's so many options and so many things that I've done football my whole life, so I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And so I kind of took a step back and looked at my whole life and thought about what an opportunity I have at this point to do something I've always wanted to do. So I decided to buy a van. I rescued a dog from a shelter, and me and her are going to travel the country in this van for a year or two and just see the sights.
Love it. Listen, before you lay that out, and I can't wait to hear about that, there was a time, though, a certain point where you watched a movie on Netflix called Minimalism, a documentary about the important things. So how would you describe that movie, and then what did you think as you were watching it?
Yeah, I mean, that movie's pretty much about this new fad that's going along is minimalism, which is about getting rid of things that don't really add value to your life. And the thing that spoke to me about that is that could be different for everybody. It's not like you need to live with this amount of things, or you can't have this, you need to live with this, or why are you doing that? It's kind of your own journey. And so if it doesn't add value to your life, then you're supposed to get rid of it because then it's just excess. And so I kind of found that very powerful. And so I decided to kind of give it a try. When I decided to move into this van, I ended up giving all my furniture away to charity, and I reduced my closet by 70%. And basically, if it didn't fit in the van, it didn't stay. And so far, I mean, I'm a week on my road trip, and it literally feels like a weight's been lifted off my shoulders just getting rid of stuff that doesn't really – I mean, it's crazy how much stuff we accumulate over our lives that we don't really realize is even there, but it definitely takes up space in our soul and our clouds, our surroundings.
Joe Hawley, my guest. Joe, it makes so much sense to me. Like, we had a move recently, and I was going back and forth with my wife, like, throw it away. It's too much. It's clutter. We don't need it. So I know exactly what you're talking about. But it's one thing for you to watch a documentary like that and think, yeah, man, that makes a lot of sense. But it's another for it to resonate and to make those kind of changes. So, like, where did the idea of buying a van and taking a 48-state trip come from, and what made you want to do that?
I mean, it was kind of a slow build. The idea I had a couple of years ago, I always wanted to see the country. And, you know, not a lot of people know this, but the United States has one of the best national park systems in the world. We have a lot of good public land and a lot of beautiful places to see. And, you know, on social media, you see all these beautiful places, you know, on Instagram and Facebook of places people have been and magazines. And it's like, I don't want to be looking at these through a screen. I kind of want to go experience them on my own terms and for myself. And so I decided to take this opportunity to go travel the country and see what this beautiful country has to offer.
Joe Hawley joining us. So, Joe, the van. I mean, you're spending a lot of time in the van. You sold your Mercedes, and now you're in the van. Describe the van. What's it look like on the inside, and how is that ride?
Man, it is a badass vehicle. It's an E350 cargo van that's been converted into a camper by a company called Sportsmobile. The top actually pops up. I don't know if you've ever seen anything like that, but it pops up so I can actually stand up inside of it when it's popped up. It turns into a bed at nighttime, so I can, like, sleep in, like, a little bunk. It's got solar panels on it. It's got a full running sink, a 16-gallon fresh water tank. It's got a mini fridge. I get a trailer in a couple weeks that I'm getting done at a shop that I'm going to have a generator on, propane tank, grill. So it is, it's pretty much self-sustaining. It can go anywhere. It's four-wheel drive, so it handles pretty much anything a Jeep would handle. It's a pretty amazing vehicle.
Listen, when you lay it out like that, I wonder why we don't all do that. But when
right.
I mean, it sounds incredible, and I've seen pictures of it. It looks amazing. When you told people around you that you were doing this, what was their reaction? Did anybody think, man, you have completely lost your mind?
I think the biggest reaction is jealousy and envy. I mean, it's crazy that, like, how many people have reached out via social media and DMs and Facebook and emails and just telling me and sharing me their stories of how they wish they could do something like this and how much inspiration I'm providing, which is crazy to me. It's blowing my mind because this is something I've always wanted to do, and I figured, you know, I know a lot of people probably want to do this, so I felt a responsibility to share it with everybody. But the feedback and love and support I've been getting has been incredible, and so I'm just really excited to get this journey started and go see some really cool places.
You know, Joe, we're showing some of the video on our TV simulcast. Something else that's incredible, you not only overhauled your possessions, but you completely changed your physique as well. How much weight have you lost, and how did you go about doing it?
Yeah, so I've lost about 50 pounds since the season. Played last year at 295. I'm weighing around 245, 250 right now. And I just started the keto diet. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Tell me.
It's a high-fat diet, low protein, low carbs. And it doesn't really make sense, but there's a couple books I've read that kind of explain it. I can't really go into detail like right now, but this high-fat diet, and it's when your body changes from burning glucose as fat or as fuel to fat as fuel. And so all this fat's kind of just been falling off me. It's crazy. I almost have a six-pack, which has always been kind of one of my goals. And, you know, eating healthier, that's one thing about football, is trying to keep that weight on. It was just another added stress. And, you know, I had to eat pretty crappy to keep that kind of weight on to play offensive line. And so being able to change that, I just feel so much better already, like stress, my mental clarity, and my weight and on my knees and everything. So it's been a really good change.
Joe Hawley joining us for a few more moments. Listen, if you're going to make a trip like that, you got to have a wingman or a wing person. You've got to have somebody to roll with. And so you went to the Pet Resource Center in Tampa. Initially, you didn't really have a connection with any of the dogs until you met one in particular. Tell me about this dog. Who was it, and what's that dog's story?
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to go get a puppy from, or rescue a puppy from a shelter, and the puppies go really fast, and so I went to the same shelter 3 days in a row, and every time I got there, it was like 30 minutes away. Every time I got there, the puppies were gone. I looked around a little bit, didn't really find anything I liked. And the third day, I finally was like, you know what, it's not looking good for me to get a puppy, and I just felt like I should walk around. I did a couple play dates with different dogs, and they didn't really feel right.
Right.
And I saw this one dog that was just shaking in the corner. All these other dogs are up against the fence barking, wanting my attention, and this one was like curled up in the corner, shaking, like super scared. And for some reason, I felt like this dog right here would be so grateful to get out of here and be a lifelong companion. I just felt this connection, even though she didn't look at me. She didn't want anything to do with me because she was so scared. But as soon as I got her home, she licked me for like 30 minutes straight, and I could tell she was so grateful. And I got so lucky. I can't believe I found her, because she's already potty trained. She hasn't ripped anything up, and she's the perfect road companion. So it was almost like it was meant to be.
So what kind of a dog is she, and what did you name her?
She is a boxer mix. I'm not sure what she's mixed with, and I named her Freedom. Funny story, I was actually driving home from the Pet Resource Center after I adopted her, and I was FaceTiming with my sister, and I started singing George Michael's Freedom, because I felt, you know, she was now free out of that cage. I was having a new sense of freedom, about to hit the open road, and so I was just excited, and my sister was like, that's a perfect name. You should name the dog Freedom, and it just fit perfectly. And that's how she got her name.
Joe Hawley joining me for a couple more moments. I mean, Joe, you sound amazing. You sound so great. Like, as an NFL player, you know how regimented that life is. So in terms of this trip, I mean, are you really detailed? Or do you kind of roll out every single day and just kind of let the road tell you where you and Freedom should go and what you should do?
Yeah, I mean, I got a rough sketch. These first couple months are kind of nice because I have a lot of weekend trips planned with different buddies and people I've wanted to see. And so I kind of dip my toe in the water, kind of getting it wet a little bit and doing campsites here and there, but staying kind of around places I'm familiar with. And after this couple months, I plan on heading up the East Coast and spending the summer months up in the northern states when it's not too cold, so I can see the cool places up there. But I don't want to plan it out too much. I kind of want to wing it and let the road kind of talk to me, because if I find somewhere I love, I kind of want to just be able to stay there and not have to worry about adding that extra stress element of, I got to get to this place at this time or this place at that time. I kind of just want to go and experience life, kind of just going with the flow.
Yeah, you know what's great about this? Not only are you doing this, but you're documenting it, and the videos are on YouTube, which are great because they're so honest, especially that first one where you included all of your bad takes in trying to talk to the camera,
man,
and get comfortable.
I did that for like 10 hours.
What was,
man,
that like?
That was
talk to me.
Crazy.
Right, what was that like?
Yeah, so, I mean, I decided I was going to give this whole vlogging thing and YouTube channel and sharing on social media, which I haven't been good at or big in like my whole career. So I decided, you know, it was my responsibility to kind of share this with people. And so trying it out for the very first time was super hard. And I was filming for like 10 hours. And I finally called my sister and I was like, yo, like, this is terrible. Like, I can't do this. Like, I'm not going to be able to put this out. And then I had this idea. I was like, what if I mashed up how bad it all is and then put it into a video just to show people that, you know, if you do start something new, even though you're not very good at it, you can improve if you work hard at it and put your mind to it and try and learn it. And so I feel like putting that video out was a good idea, because now I feel like I've been improving on my videos as I go with the editing equipment and how to shoot the videos and how to talk to the camera. And that's another good thing about being done with football, is like finding something else to challenge myself and get better at and put my time towards, where it's really kind of fulfilling to see my growth at something else. It's really awesome.
Hey Joe, that wasn't a good idea. That was not a good idea. That was the best idea. What is the best way for people to follow you and Freedom on your journey?
Okay, I'm on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook at Man Van Dog Blog, and you can follow me on Twitter at jhawley, H-A-W-L-E-Y-61.
Joe Hawley, 8-year vet, and he's starting his road trip with Freedom, 48 states. Joe, it's awesome. It sounds great. You sound great. Really nice to have you on the show, man. Have a great trip, and I hope we can do it again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Let me know if you want to catch up. Maybe I'll be out in the West Coast sometime.
Would love to see you. Would love to see you, Joe. Thanks. Great job. Joe Hawley, what did I tell you? Two great interviews in hour number one, and we're back in San Diego. Today is a good day, a damn good day. Second hour straight ahead. Do not go anywhere. Phone calls when we come back.